Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. Our goal is to help Christians understand the truth of Romans 15:14, that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm one of your hosts, Curtis Solomon.
And I'm Lakin Liu, your other host. Be sure to check out other resources from the BCC at biblicalcc.org.
This episode is brought to you in part by the new MDiv from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The strongest MDiv just got stronger. Southern Seminary introduced a new Master of Divinity degree in order to train, educate, and prepare students for a lifetime of faithfulness with even greater effectiveness. The benefits to students are greater personalization, increased specialization, and the opportunity to earn more credentials in an efficient amount of time. MDiv students who attend classes on Southern's campus pay for only their first 9 hours each semester and take one or two additional courses for free. That reduces the cost of the Southern Seminary MDiv by thousands of dollars. Discover how you can benefit from the new Southern MDiv that is simplified, personalized, and incentivized at sbts.edu/newmdiv. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 1514. We're delighted to have you as part of our audience. This episode is a rebroadcast of an interview that I did a while ago with Pastor Dave Kirk. Dave pastors in Iowa and co-founded and leads the Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling Coalition, and we wanted to include it in the series on 133 Networks as we are encouraging you to become a partner and join a network. We want to be establishing biblical counseling networks around the globe where people who care for one another through God's word, gather together on a local basis, on a regular basis, to encourage each other, to equip one another, and be ready to go out engaging in the work of biblical counseling. I hope you enjoy this interview, whether you heard it before or this is the first time. Thanks again for listening. Well, Dave Kirk, thanks so much for being with us on 1514 today. Could you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, Curtis, thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to spending the time with you guys today. So as Curtis said, my name is Dave Kirk, and I'm the pastor of spiritual formation at Grace Community Church in North Liberty, Iowa, which is basically in Iowa City. And in my role, I oversee all the discipleship, equipping, and leadership development that goes on at our church, as well as biblical counseling. We do have a biblical counseling director. Her name's Amy Marino. She does a great job. And so super excited about what she's doing. I am also the co-founder and director of the Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling Coalition, which we'll be talking about more today. I've been married to my beautiful wife, Debbie, for 28 years. We have five kids. The first four are all boys, and that's been interesting. I remember when my wife and I got engaged, we were talking about having a big family, and she said, "Hey, I want a big family." And I said, "Hey, two kids sound great to me, too." And she laughed, and then I said, "Well, as long as they're not boys, because if they're all boys and they're like me, I don't know what would happen." And in God's sovereignty and sense of humor and in his ultimate wisdom, our first four were boys, and that was phenomenal. And then our last one was born when we moved here to Iowa. I've served in ministry for, almost 30 years. I spent 13 years in St. Louis, Missouri, before we moved here to North Liberty, Iowa, back in 2009. And yeah, it's been a great opportunity, and the Lord has blessed my wife and I and our family and the people that I've served with greatly. We have so much to be thankful for.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord for that. And definitely sounds like you don't have much downtime or many dull moments. So,
yeah, no.
Well, as you mentioned, I wanted to talk to you today about the Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling Coalition, because we're doing a series on regional networks and helping people understand what it looks like to gather together on a local basis with biblical counselors from your geographic region. And you've been doing this with the Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling for some time. So tell everybody a little bit about the Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling Coalition, what it is, when did you begin?
Yeah. So we began back in the early spring of 2013. So we're looking forward to celebrating that 10-year anniversary next year. The Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling Coalition, the whole reason why we exist is really to equip churches to make disciples through biblical counseling. in their churches. I was heavily influenced by CCF, by ACBC, the guys out at Faith Lafayette, and of course, Garrett Higbee and his Soul Care model. And we kind of took all of those and said, man, that's something that every single church in America needs. And as we were building our own biblical counseling ministry here at Grace and just starting to talk to area people, we found out that there was just a lot of pastors and leaders who didn't understand that that counseling was a part of who they were called to be as pastors and shepherds and elders. And while we all certainly have different gifts, talents, and abilities, we're all called to care for our flock and shepherd our flock well. And so we saw a need to really step in and help pastors and leaders focus on getting trained themselves, but also then training their churches on teaching their people how to care for one another well. And so that was really the impetus behind why we started the EIBCC, was to really focus on the local church and to be an encouragement and equipping place for the leaders of those local churches, with the hopes that those local churches would build that kind of soul care, biblical counseling processes into the discipleship processes in their church.
Oh, that's wonderful. And early congratulations. It'll be exciting to see 10 years of ministry and what that's looked like. So tell everybody how things have been growing over the last almost 10 years.
Yeah. So we started in 2013, there were three churches, people from three churches that came together. We all had been participating in the same kinds of trainings, and God just providentially put us together and we just started talking and sharing our vision and realizing, hey, this is something we could bring to Eastern Iowa. That was around the time that, Curtis, you guys were talking as the Biblical Counseling Coalition about having networks. And so we just took off and said, what does God want us to do here? And so we started off with three churches, and those three churches were all pretty much focused in what we call the corridor area here in Iowa, which is Iowa City, North Liberty, Cedar Rapids. They're all within 15 minutes of each other, 20 minutes of each other. And from there, we have spread out geographically, for sure. We now have churches that are part of our Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling Coalition that are as far east as the Illinois border in the Quad Cities, Davenport, Rock Island, Moline area. We have churches that are part of the EIBCC that are from northern Iowa, some now that are from south central and even pushing west. And over the last couple of years before COVID hit, we were talking about what's it look like to do a name change. Because we're realizing we're not necessarily Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling Coalition anymore.
Yeah.
And so God has blessed in that we've spread out geographically, but he's also blessed in that he's taken that from three churches that were plugged in and involved together to, prior to COVID, about 28 churches that were participating in the Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling Coalition. Since COVID, like all of our churches have found, we've gone through a period of attrition in some ways, in that some churches had to stop and just focus on what they were going to do as a church to respond to the different crises and stuff like that that came about due to COVID and other things in our area. And so today we're sitting anywhere between 16 and 20 churches. And then other churches that are part of our mailing list, but active participating churches, 16 to 20. So we've had to retool and revamp just a little bit. But it was exciting in that as we went through COVID, the EIBCC kept going. And so we moved all of our meetings to Zoom and those kinds of things, and found a couple silver linings in that. And yeah, God just continues to bless that way. So,
no, it's really wonderful to see that growth, like you said, both numerically and geographically. And I have every confidence that that those numbers will come back, and as things reopen and everybody's more comfortable coming back together, that'll be really good. So tell everybody kind of the nuts and bolts when you talk about your meetings. How often do you meet? What do you meet? Where do you meet? What does that look like for you all?
Yeah, great question. So on our webpage at eibcc.org, we kind of spell it out real plain on the front. part of the way that we work to equip our pastors and leaders in the churches and people of our churches is we do it through regular monthly meetings. We do it through yearly conferences. We also have mentoring and coaching, and then equipping resources that we put on our webpage. And so the bread and butter for us really is that monthly meeting. Since the get-go, we've had that monthly meeting on the third Thursday morning of the month, and at different locations, making sure that it's centrally located, but different locations the third Thursday mornings of the month. And at those meetings, they're generally about an hour and a half, 2 hours long, from about 8:30 to 10:30. We bake in just enough time for some encouragement and get to know you, because almost monthly we have new pastors, new leaders, new lay people coming. And so we take time for people to get to know each other. And then we have a time of equipping, and we rotate what that equipping looks like. So 1 month, the equipping will be on giving pastors and leaders tools that they need to develop their own counseling ministry and to develop their own confidence and encouragement in biblical counseling. And then the other month, the alternating month, then we will teach on tools that those leaders can take and actually implement with all of their different department and church leaders across their church. So we have found that to be just an excellent rhythm. So 1 month is our personal tools, and the next month are tools that they can give out to everyone in their church. And that's been really beneficial. We have found in that monthly meeting as well that, man, not only has it been great for equipping and great for encouragement, it's really grown the confidence of the people that have come in regards to confidence about how to make disciples in their church. It has also been fantastic in regards to networking, because we've got pastors and leaders that never would have connected had they not come through the EIBCC. And so as they come and they meet each other monthly, it's been a lot of fun to see these pastors reaching out to one another, especially when they have difficult shepherding situations in their church, or somebody's moving to a different community. They already know these pastors and they know that they're like-minded, and they can send them to those churches, and those churches are going to shepherd them well. And so we have found a lot of camaraderie across the EIBCC, and the fact that we all work together to help care for people. And so that monthly meeting has been what we've really relied on and focused on as our bread and butter. I did mention we have a yearly conference that we do. The last 2 years, we had to cancel our conference due to COVID. But part of our 10-year celebration is bringing back that conference for the fall of 2023. So we're excited about that. And then we also do consulting. And sometimes that consulting looks like meeting pastor to pastor or pastor to leaders, that kind of thing. Sometimes our consulting looks like we will actually go in and do training for a church leadership. Sometimes that's a weekend training. Sometimes that's a morning. I remember one church we worked with, they brought their entire leadership in, and we worked with them from 8 o'clock till 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, just helping them think through and revamp all their discipleship processes. And that was a lot of fun. So those are the three main ways that we accomplish what we are trying to accomplish.
Oh, that's really, really great. I will come back to this in a moment. I do want to encourage people who are listening, because this is part of a series where we're trying to encourage people on how to begin a network and how to start one. You don't have to start that big with all of those things, but it's really great to see those different areas of focus. You and I were talking a little bit beforehand that there are a number of regional networks already in existence out there. One of those, Dan Carmody up in Wisconsin, that you helped him get up and running. And each one can have a different focus. You guys are primarily focused on local church pastors and equipping them. What are some other ways you've seen people focus their attention in these regional networks?
Yeah, well, you mentioned a great one, Dan Carmody, and what they're doing over in Wisconsin. Their passion, their vision is to see people trained to be certified biblical counselors. And so a lot of what they do is, you know, they put a lot of their time and energies and resources into getting those people trained for certification, which is a wonderful call. I know of rubbing shoulders with some other guys. I know a group that was meeting down in Florida that they were focused on as a little bit more of an intimate, smaller group, but they were just focused on kind of pastor to pastor, counselor to counselor, working just to encourage one another and to care for one another in that. And so whether it's that small intimate group or what Dan Carmody's doing in Wisconsin, where they're trying to train counselors, or what we're trying to do is just train the discipleship processes of the churches, all of those things I think God's going to use to really strengthen the church to be all about the Great Commission and to be making the disciples that we're called to make.
Pardon me while I interrupt this episode for a special word from one of our sponsors. Are you passionate about biblical counseling and discipleship? Don't miss IBCD's annual Summer Institute Conference, June 20th through the 22nd, featuring inspiring speakers like Dr. Charles Hodges, Dave Harvey, Tim St. John, and yours truly. The pre-conference theme is Biblical Counseling in Modern Medicine, Considering the Role of Doctors, Medications, and Marijuana. The main conference theme is Life Together, Nurturing Relationships for Eternal Purposes. The event will be in sunny California at New Life Presbyterian Church in La Mesa. Can't attend in person? Get your virtual ticket with live streamed and downloadable sessions included. Find the link to register at ibcd.org/events. Their mid-rate pricing ends April 30th, so hurry and snag this discount and others. See you there.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And one of the things we want to encourage people to think about is that they don't have to all look the same, and you can pick what you want to focus on in your particular area and what you feel the Lord's calling you to do, if he's calling you to start one of these. You've talked a lot about the local church, and obviously when you're focusing on pastors and leaders and affecting their discipleship, you're going to be involved in churches and supported by churches. But we also believe biblical counseling should be grounded in the local church. So how is it, why is it important, and how does it actually work out to have local churches supporting you and you supporting them?
As our church, Grace Community Church, was getting up and running with biblical counseling, we were one of only maybe three churches in the whole area that were even focusing on that. You know, Andy Biddle over in Sailorville, he was doing some stuff in the Des Moines area. And as we started getting our biblical counseling ministry up and running, and other area pastors and leaders heard about that, they started sending their people to us for counseling. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, in one way, it's like, well, that's good. You know, they have some place to send. But again, our heartbeat is that churches would do their best to care for their own people as much as they can. And so early on, we made a stipulation that, yes, we'll counsel somebody from another church, but we wanted their pastor or somebody who was high up in leadership to come with them as an advocate. And having that advocacy program was phenomenal, because as they actually did that, the pastors were able to see firsthand, oh my goodness, all we're really talking about is shepherding and discipleship, and I can do this. You know, and so as we would counsel in our counseling room, everybody in the entire room was being encouraged, edified, and trained. And so then they would go back on, quite honestly, they would go back on fire. And that's where that was oftentimes the impetus that those churches would then lock arms with us and say, we want to be a part of the EIBCC. And from there, we've seen numerous pastors and leaders go on to be certified, and not all do. We don't make it a stipulation that to be a part of the EIBCC that you have to be certified with a certain type of biblical counseling certification, but certainly we highly encourage it, and we promote the fact that they could get certified in that. So that's how we feel like we have helped really to support the local church and the pastors specifically. And then they have turned around, and as they have gotten excited about that, then they come, and some of those pastors early on actually now sit on our core team. And so as we get more familiar with them and we see them developing those processes in their church and those kinds of things, then we will reach out to them and, you know, ask them to bring training and equipping to us 1 month. And so we try to spread that out. And so really what we're after is mutual equipping and mutual edification.
Yeah. No, it's good. And you even mentioned the physically rotating locations, which I've in the different groups that I've seen, I think that's a helpful thing so that it doesn't become the ministry of one particular church, or maybe one church has an over, you know, an abundance of influence over the group, but really is a shared effort. So, I think that's a helpful thing. So if somebody wanted to start a local network, and I mentioned this before, they don't have to begin with all of these different avenues. They don't have to start with an annual conference or anything like that. What do they actually need to start? What are the first things to think about?
I would say the very first thing, obviously, is prayer and a vision. A prayer and a vision followed closely by who are you going to run with? Who's going to be that community that is going to help you start? Like in our situation, you know, there were a couple of our leaders from Grace, and then a couple leaders from a church in Cedar Rapids, and then Sydney Maledge, who is still part of our core team. She was from Faith Bible in Iowa City. And so, you know, through prayer and through having a mission and a vision statement, and then having that little community to get started off on, you know, back in 2013, the way we started, like I said, was with three churches. So there was like five of us that would meet at a coffee shop once a month to prayerfully discuss, what does this look like for us to do this? And that happened for a while before we even said, let's have our first monthly meeting. So I would say early on, just again, I can't stress enough the importance of prayer in that. Also a mission and a vision. And then have a couple people that'll join it, you know, join with you on the front end of that.
Yeah. One of the things that has been a common thread, and I've seen some of these efforts really succeed or fail, honestly, based on whether or not there's one person, not that one person's carrying the load, but there needs to be a point person who's kind of leading and steering and driving the ship a little bit. One, do you think that's true? And then two, if it is, like, how much time do you think somebody should be thinking? Because I know a lot of the people are, they're busy. They're doing their, they're working in their church. Maybe they have a job, they've got family, all these other things. And that's a significant question. So do you think that's legitimate that there needs to be a primary point person? And then what kind of work or time commitment is that?
Yeah, I 110% agree with you. That it does take a point person. And however, I would also say that point person needs a phenomenal team as well. Yeah. And so, yeah. And I've been blessed because, I have been the point person, since the outset. But we very much practice a team ministry on the core team. And that core team has been with me. They've gone and done conferences. You know, they do some of the background work. They help set up for meetings and those kinds of things. So no way is the EIBCC a one-man show, not by any stretch of the imagination. However, there does need to be a point person for vision and keeping things together and that kind of thing. And so I would say early on, if you're just getting started, you know, like me, you know, somebody's probably going to be in ministry, or they're going to have other job going on or something, where that's your main focus. Right. So for us, it looked like early on, it looked like a monthly meeting, with just the core team. And then it looked like, you know, just little things here and there, like getting promotion up and going. So, you know, I was probably able to give, 5 to 10 hours a month, on it. We're hitting a stage now though, where we're realizing, okay, you know, we're at a place where this could go one of two ways. You know, the EIBCC could stay where it's at. It's pretty still, even though there's that many churches involved, we're pretty still grassroots and, you know, organic in a lot of ways. But we're also realizing, man, that if this grows, we need a point person that can put more time into it. And so then what does that mean? You know, because in our network, we don't currently charge dues, you know, or anything like that. When we are charging, it's generally for the conference. And that's just basically to get that money back to be able to offer the equipping and the training that we offer. So that's what I mean by we've, in this 10 years, we've still been able to be kind of grassroots and organic, in that we haven't taken that step to say, what's that look like to have churches give financially so that they can, you know, we can have a point person or somebody that's in place that can spend more time now than needed. Or than what we actually have to give. And so that's something for us that we're looking at in our next 2 to 5 year plan is, you know, do we, or should we start setting aside money so that a point person can be focused on running that a little bit more, because it's a bigger thing now.
Yeah.
But early on, I'd say, you know, 5 to 10 hours a month should be able to take care of that.
Yeah. And 5 to 10. And some people I've talked to do it as volunteers. It's not part of their ministry or anything like that. And like you said, 5 to 10 hours it's a significant commitment, but it's not an overwhelming one. But also if your church catches the vision of like, this is something that we want to have be part of our ministry, and you have a staff pastor or somebody like that who can dedicate some time to it through as part of their ministry, it's still not going to steal them away from their other responsibilities. So
correct.
It's good to just get that out there for people to think about. What are some of the blessings and benefits you've seen people get from participating in the EIBCC?
And I mentioned a lot of these earlier on. I would say, equipping for sure. Being able to put the dots together that, you know, caring and shepherding people, you know, that needs to happen biblically, and a community is so much a part of that. And when you put, you know, biblical equipping and biblical community together, you're just really talking about a lifestyle of discipleship, you know, and to see the light bulbs come on for people where they're like, oh, that's not necessarily, I thought there, you know, you had to pick one or the other, you know, and that kind of thing. It's like, nope, it's the whole, you know, it's the whole thing. So, the tools and the training that they've received, that's what we hear back all the time. I would also say confidence. I said that earlier. I think, church leaders really get a lot of confidence from our time. I would also say friendship. I talked earlier about how, church leaders are networking with one another, but it's really awesome to see friendships develop. You know, what started out is, oh, I'm going to sit at your table at a monthly meeting and we're going to chat and stuff like that, to I'm hearing other pastors in the area telling me, oh yeah, I got together with so-and-so and we're working on this and working on that. And that really blesses my heart. Because I know where the genesis of that came from, and I just thank the Lord for that. And so, yeah, I'd say equipping. I would say confidence and encouragement. I would say friendship and healthy community amongst the churches that are participating.
Yeah, and like you said too, the joint sharing and caring for the needs of the people, is a huge one. I know a lot of biblical counselors who participate in groups like this. One of the things they'll say, especially if they're in a location or maybe a church where they are very isolated, they're the only person doing soul care ministry, being able to get together with brothers and sisters who are like-minded and working in the same area is such a huge encouragement to them. So thank you for creating that opportunity for people in the center of our country. And maybe it'll be, I guess, Central America Biblical Counseling Coalition wouldn't be right, but I'm not a good namer, so you'll have to go to somebody else for something like that. But yeah. But no, thanks. Well, if somebody had further questions and wanted to reach out and ask you more about starting a regional network or what you guys do at EIBCC, how could they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me a couple different ways. They can go to our EIBCC.org webpage and click on me there, and it's going to send an email to me. That's one way. They can also contact me through Grace Community Church. My email is daveK@grace, the letter B and the number 3.org. So daveK@graceb3.org. So either of those two ways is great. And I would definitely look forward to hearing from anybody that has questions.
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that. well, we're wrapping up our time together, but do you have time for our two-minute favorites? I don't think I sent you these questions, but it's a fun thing I like to do with our guests.
Yeah, let's go for it.
What is your favorite food?
Oh, man, I would say wings.
All right.
Buffalo wings.
Favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite sport?
Oh, man, do I have to pick one? I got like a ton of them. I'd say baseball or golf.
All right. Favorite sports team?
St. Louis Cardinals forever.
All right. If you, what's your favorite, the favorite gift you've ever received?
My salvation.
All right. Favorite gift you've ever given?
Oh my goodness. Favorite gift I've ever given. Putting the ring on my wife's finger when we said I do. Man. Yes. The wedding ring to my wife.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Chocolate chip cookie dough.
Favorite Bible verse?
Hebrews 4, 12 through 16.
All right. Favorite candy?
Favorite candy would be... I got to go with dots, man.
All right. Favorite book of the Bible?
Hebrews.
Favorite book outside of scripture?
Oh, there's tons of them. I'll just give one of my, two of my current favorite ones, Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. And then I'm reading, Undistracted by Bob Goff, his new writing.
All right. Favorite word?
Filthy.
Least favorite word?
least favorite word. Oh my. I don't know. Least favorite word, moist. How's that?
That's a very common one. Very good.
Yes.
Well, Dave, that wraps up our two-minute favorites, which also wraps up our time together. So thanks so much for being with us on 1514 today.
Hey, you're welcome, Curtis. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
And special thanks to our team who helped make this podcast possible. My assistant, Rebecca Mullins, helps coordinate these interviews. And our podcast engineer, Caleb Lau, does a great job editing and putting everything together. We look forward to you joining us next time.